John chapter 12. Verse 27, Jesus says, "Now is my soul troubled." Our sin was a burden for Jesus. The way we disobey God, the things that we do outside of God's will, burdened Jesus. He became, the Bible says, sin for us on that cross. He took our sin on him. And so we look at that event and we say, well, he died on the cross for our sins, and we see that as the burden that he bore for us. But it wasn't just the cross. Sin burdened Jesus in those days and weeks leading up to the crucifixion. Our sin. Guys, when we're flipping about sin, we take for granted the grace that God has extended to us. The love, the burden that he carried, the weight that was on his shoulders, not just on the cross, but as he approached that day and what he had to endure for our salvation. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad my sins are washed away. But let's not take it for granted. Let's not say, well, I'm going to heaven no matter what, because that sin burdened Jesus. That sin was a weight on his shoulders. It troubled him. It grieved him. And that's what he's saying here in verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. You see, Jesus was pure. He was God. In the beginning was the Word, right? The Word became flesh. That was Jesus. And so Jesus, being perfect, being the law, being salvation, free of sin, innocent of sin, never broken law, never broken a commandment. And yet on that day, he took all of that sin on him. And he paid a price that we couldn't pay. And that burdened him. It grieved him. So let's not be flippant about our sin. Let's not just brush it off and say, well, it's not that big of a deal. And what shall I say? Verse 27. Father, save me from this hour. Is that what he should have done? Because he didn't want sin on his heart and his life? Because he didn't want to take on that sin? Should he have just said, never mind? He who is perfect became sin for us. And he says, well, what am I supposed to do? Just cancel it? Just shut it down? For this cause came I to this hour. For this cause. What cause? To take away our sin. Guys, what keeps us from heaven is sin. Not each sin, sin. When we sinned against God, we broke fellowship with God, we broke relationship with God, and at that point that we sinned knowledgeably, knowingly, we sinned against God, at that point we became sinners. Alienated from God. And you say, well, weren't we born in the sin? David said, I was conceived in sin. Yeah? But the difference is there was a point of innocence where we weren't responsible. But there came a point where we had responsibility. And once we became responsible for our actions, then we were alienated from God. And Jesus said, for that cause I came. To bring people back to the Father. To restore that relationship. To remove sin so that they could be saved. So that we could be saved. So that we could go to heaven. So that we could have eternal life. Remember, God told Adam and Eve on the day you eat of that tree, what will happen? Ye shall surely die. Death, spiritual death. They didn't have a physical death at that point. They had a spiritual death. They were alienated from God. Jesus would come in the cool of the day and walk with them in the garden. He said, that's over. Broken relationship. And so what had to happen? He killed an animal, gave them skins, clothes to wear, made of animal skins, animal hides. And the blood that was shed to make their covering was the blood that pointed toward the cross. Remember, in the Old Testament, their sins were covered. Throughout the Old Testament, you hear that, it's covered, it's covered, it's covered. Covered by the blood, covered. In the New Testament, it's cleansed. You see, once he died on the cross, instead of looking forward to the cross and saying, until that day, you know, it's kind of on credit. Now, it's not just paid, it's paid in advance. Isn't that great? That's great. Man, how many of you Have ever, don't raise your hand on this, have ever overrun your credit? You go to the store and you swipe that card and you just, oh. And then it makes that noise, the little machine makes a noise. And sometimes it sounds like it's declined even when it's accepted. You swipe that card and you just stand there and watch. Oh, what's going to happen now? And then you pass and you go, all right, I made it. Okay, I keep my groceries. Or what happened? So you have that credit. And then one day you reach it and no more credit. But what about if you just had an unlimited debit card? So you just swipe it and you just don't even look at it. You don't care. You put it back in your pocket because you know it's good. Well, see, that's the grace. That's the difference of the credit of the Old Testament and the grace of the New Testament. The grace that says no matter, it's washed in the blood. It's washed away. Again, it's not a license to sin. It's not an acceptance. It's not condoning sin because we see the burden and the grief that it caused to Jesus. But we know our sins are forgiven. For this cause came I to this hour. Verse number 31. Now is the judgment of this world. And the word judgment there is the word crisis. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. You see, in our lives, we can expect judgment. We can expect crisis in our lives. And the only way that we can attain peace in our lives is to get the prince of this world cast out of our lives. And that is the devil. The only way to do that is through Jesus Christ. The only way to do that is to make sure that we are locked in, that we are secured by the grace of God, that we're saved. Amen. Then we can't touch us. Then we know we're safe. And he says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. You see, he threw him out. His control was taken away. I don't remember that comedian's name, but you will. And he'll say, the devil made me do it. Well, let me tell you something. As Christians, the devil can't make us do anything. He can lead us. He can tempt us. He can woo us. But he can't make us do anything. He has no control. Because the prince of this world has been cast out of our lives through the grace of God. By the salvation of Jesus Christ. And if I be lifted up from the earth, verse 32, will draw all men unto me. Now, the lifting up is the cross. The lifting up. John chapter 3, right? He said in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must also the Son of Man be lifted up. So Moses lifted up that rod with the serpent on it, and everybody who got bit by serpents could look at that rod and they would not die from it. And so Jesus was raised up on that cross, crucified, lifted up for us. Lifted up to take away our sin, to remove our sin, to cleanse our sin. And he said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Salvation for everybody. It's not limited. There's people out there that are saved that are not Baptists. I know, it's shocking. There's some people out there that are saved and they don't go to Capitol Heights. There's some people out there that are saved and they don't agree with your political affiliation. There's some people that are saved and they don't look like us. But I'll tell you something. Jesus said, when I be lifted up, all men will be drawn unto me. Amen. By that one single act, he opened the door for everyone, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles too. Amen. I will draw all unto me. Verse 35. Jesus said to them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. Think about this. God said on occasion, I won't always struggle with man. I won't always endure it. I won't always tolerate it. I won't always suffer them. God said there's a time when I will. There's a time when I will permit. There's a time when I will be gracious and kind and open. But I will draw the line. Understand something. If God is calling you saved, if God is calling you to that life of salvation, of knowing Him, of being His child, of having your sins washed away. Don't put it off. He says we need to act on that while the light is there. We need to seize on that while the opportunity is available. Right? He said, come unto me while I'm near. Call upon him while he is near. Don't wait. Don't wait to be saved. You say, well, you know, I'll wait. Give up anything. No, he says, don't wait because you're walking in the light. You have the calling. You have the invitation. But you know, there could be a time where God removes that invitation. There'll be a time when God's going to stop bugging you about it. God's going to stop sending people to bug you about it. There are people out there that are not saved and they just wish that their wife would stop bringing it up. They just wish their husband would stop bringing it up, or their parents would quit bringing it up, or their kids would quit bringing it up, or their coworker would quit bringing it up. But I tell you something, one day that is going to happen. And nobody's going to bring it up again. And you say, aha, I don't have to worry about it. Oh, that's the rest of the verse. He said, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Lest darkness come upon you. You see, then the darkness comes in and there's no more opportunity. What a sad, sad idea. That there would come a time when you couldn't be saved. And I know we preach it because if God is drawing somebody, I don't care how close they are to death. If their last words. I had a lady, a friend that was dying, and she lay in the hospital bed and she just kept saying, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. She just kept repeating it over and over again. Jesus, forgive me. She was of a faith that said you could lose your salvation, and she didn't want anything to have entered her mind and she'd lose her opportunity to be saved. But we don't stand in jeopardy. Nobody does. Even if that's what their church teaches, nobody stands in jeopardy. When you pray and ask God's forgiveness, He washes your sins away. It's old. It's done. But there's a part where that ignorance settles in, and that's called darkness. And there's no more opportunity. Look at what he says, continuing in verse 35. He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And so you say, are you going to heaven when you die? I don't know. That's darkness. I hope so. That's darkness. I don't even know if there really is a heaven. That's darkness. Well, I don't believe in hell. That's darkness. You walk while you have the light. You better seize on that opportunity while God is calling, while the Holy Spirit is drawing you, while the Father is calling you. You've got to respond now. Verse 36, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. Understand light, the light here that Jesus is speaking of. Yes, he's speaking of himself, but he's speaking of enlightenment. He's talking about knowledge and understanding and clarity and spirituality. That's what he's talking about with the light. And he says there's a time when the Holy Spirit comes to us and draws us. The Father calls us and we have an opportunity to be saved. That's the light. And we might feel real good and real religious during that time. Might feel like everything's okay because we sense that God is drawing us. But if we don't accept that opportunity, if we don't accept His salvation, and then that switch is turned off and that time is over, that time of visitation, and the light's turned off and we walk in darkness and we don't know where we're going. Well, what's going to happen when you die? I don't know. Darkness. And Jesus says, while you have the light, believe in the light. Be the children of the light. Look at what he says in verse number 36 at the end there. He says, these things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. You know, sometimes I imagine that when Jesus would teach things, people would keep asking questions and keep talking about more stuff. And he wanted this to kind of settle with them. He wanted this idea that they would live in eternal darkness. He wanted that to kind of get to them. He talked about the light. He talked about invitation. He talked about the salvation. He talked about being children of light. And then he disappeared. He hid. Because he wanted that to really set in their minds and really just kind of ruminate. Just really think about what that is, to live in darkness or to walk in the light. And so he hid himself from them. Verse 37, though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not. They didn't get saved. Hey, the rich man said, send somebody back from the... Because if somebody came back from the grave, surely my brothers would believe. And Jesus said they would believe. Or Abraham said, they won't believe even if one rose from the grave. And he proved it, didn't he? Rose from the grave, they created a lie to cover it up. They wouldn't believe. They were so hardcore, so hard-headed, so dug in with their heels on their opinion, on their pride, they couldn't be moved. By the way, they had too much at stake. You understand that? Brother, I think it was Brother Leroy telling me about a college, and I did see the headline this morning or this afternoon. A college hired a chaplain. Chaplain's an atheist. Me? A chaplain to talk about spiritual things that doesn't believe in God. We're there, guys. And so I look at these pastors, and we've seen the headlines where such and such pastor has confessed that they don't even believe in God anymore and gave up their pulpit, gave up their church. Well, they should have to pay back everything they got paid to. Fraud is what it is. Believe, or they just stopped believing one day. He said, though they had, Jesus had done so many miracles, yet they believed not on him. Hey, let me tell you something. If you get discouraged because people won't believe when you reach out to them, they didn't believe when Jesus reached out to them either. Because I know we want people to get saved. We want people to get right. We want people to do right. But they even said no to Jesus. And if they said no to Jesus, we should accept them. They're going to say no to us sometimes too. Verse 38. That was a fulfillment of prophecy, he says. Go down to verse 42, if you will. Because we got some good news. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed. There were some, and you understand, this is in the book of John. We just got finished with Matthew in Sunday school. There were some on those councils. They probably weren't in those meetings, I would imagine, that crucified Jesus, that convicted him. But they were on the committees. They were part of the leadership. They were in the upper offices of the religious society. And some of them, among the chief rulers, believed in Jesus. So they got saved, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They were saved, but they wouldn't tell anybody because they didn't want to lose their position in the synagogue. They didn't want to lose their seat. By the way, if you lost your seat in the synagogue, you lost your seat in society. But they don't want to give that up. I wonder how many people then, you know, I wonder that about some people, especially in those final moments of life, and I've talked to them about Jesus and told them how to be saved and told them just, this is what you need to do. If you do reach a moment of clarity and want to pray and ask God's forgiveness, you just tell them you're a sinner and confess that Jesus died for your sins and ask him to forgive your sins. And I wonder if they do it, but they just don't want to tell me because they've been so against it the whole time. Maybe, I hope so. Been several of them that way, and I say, look, just pray and let God decide. You give, put it in God's hands and let him decide. Desperation. And yet they got saved, but they wouldn't tell anybody. Because they didn't want to lose somebody else's respect. Wow. Verse 43, they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And then you got those today that want to sign up for both. They say they believe, but they prefer the praise of men over the praise of God, so they do what man wants instead of what God wants. When the apostle said we ought to obey God rather than man. Rest us if you must. We must obey God rather than man. Throw us in jail if you must, but we must obey God rather than man. Kill us if you must. We will not relent. We will not deny our Savior. Throw them in the fiery furnace. That's okay. Jesus is in there. And we talk about these martyrs, modern day martyrs. I mean this last week. And boy, they thought they were doing something when they killed those Christians. And they did. They set them free. They set them free. It doesn't take away the grief and the loss of their families, but they set them free. They're in heaven. We need to adapt that in our hearts. Guys, when you're not afraid to die, you can live a lot better. But when you're afraid to die and afraid of jail and afraid of arrest and afraid of criticism and afraid somebody's going to mock you and afraid somebody's going to make fun of you, you can't live. I don't want to live in a jail like that. Verse 48, he that rejecteth me, Jesus speaking, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judgeth him. You see that? The word. The word which I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. Hey, there's going to be a final exam. We have the study guide. We have the study guide. In the colleges, there was a system, or I'll say a kind of a network, where anybody that took a test would go back and write the answer down. Write the question down, write the answer down. Write the question down, write the answer down. And so they had these study guides all throughout the system, all throughout the network. And so somebody say, I'm going to take this test. Anybody got a study guide? Yeah, I got a study guide. This man, it's dead on. You'll make a 90 or 100 with this one. And so the head of the college said, we got to change the test because everybody's got a study guide. They replaced him with another guy. You know what that guy said? I don't care if they have a study guide or not, as long as they get 100 on the test. I'd rather them have the right information to study. I'd rather them have the right information, the right answers to the right questions. Guys, God has given us the right answers to the right questions. He's given us all that we need, and Jesus says, look, I'm telling you, if you'll pay attention to what I'm saying on the judgment day, you don't have to sweat it. We've got the answers. So we need to read it, live it, and understand that on judgment day, we've had the answers all along. We need to be studying. And we need to be right. We need to know when we stand before God. See, am I going to heaven? I sure am. You mean you hope you are? Nope. No, I don't hope I am. I know I am. The Bible says that we can know that our sins are forgiven, that we can know that we are saved. He says that you may know that you have eternal life. Know it. Not a question, not a doubt, not a wonder, not a hope so. I'm saved. Oh, look at you, so pious. No, it wasn't me. It was him. It was all him. When the light came to me, I walked in the light and became a child of the light. Because I didn't want to walk in darkness anymore. And so I know. He said, those who walk in darkness know not where they're going. I know where I'm going. I hope you do too. Let's stand. Father, we love you so much and we're thankful. Again, and this is assurance that we've had, we hold. We know the word is our judgment. We know we'll be judged from the word. And we're thankful that you've given us the guide, the answers, the law, and the prophets, and the gospels, all the New Testament. The hope that is in us comes from you. So, Father, help us to share it this week, to make a difference, to reach the lost, that souls will be saved, that lives will be changed, God, that we can encourage and bring hope to those who are in despair. Again, we pray for those families that are grieving, for those who are sick, for those who are in the path of the storm, in the days of recovery that are ahead. We pray that you will send ministers to their need and give us opportunity in Jesus' name.